This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So with me today, I'll introduce our wonderful guest speakers, both of which who are prominent Muslim women working in the public eye in the Dawah space in the Sydney Muslim community. We have the very knowledgeable Sheikha Jamaluddin and our beloved sister, Kalisha Bennett. Assalamu alaikum, sisters. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you both feeling today?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, good. How are you feeling about talking about this particular topic?
Inshallah khair.
Yeah, inshallah khair. Alhamdulillah. I'm actually really excited about this one. I think it's a topic that, I think inshallah this discussion will be very riveting, and it's a discussion that we really need to have in our community. So alhamdulillah, I'm very thankful that NZF has allowed us to have this discussion, and inshallah may Allah put barakah in it. So I'm going to introduce Sheikha Jamaluddin. She's a prominent teacher, speaker and mentor. She's an Australian revert to Islam and teacher of Quran and various Islamic sciences in Sydney. She studied the Quran at Darul Huda in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and has ijazah in Tajweed. She recently graduated with a Bachelor of Fiqh in Usul al-Fiqh at Al-Madina International University. She has delivered many talks both nationally and internationally and is passionate about motivating others to become more steadfast in their faith, along with empowering sisters by sharing her knowledge of the deen, mashallah. And dear sister Kalisha Bennett is a mentor and student of Islamic knowledge. She has ijazah in Tajweed and has spent several years pursuing Sharia studies under various teachers. She is a women's coach and youth educator in New South Wales schools and within the Muslim community in Australia. She has worked closely with countless women and youth through her coaching businesses, through her coaching business Developing Diamonds, and regularly collaborates with many community charities and organizations as an ambassador for important campaigns and causes. So welcome both Kalisha Bennett and Jamaluddin. Inshallah, I'm going to really enjoy having the panel with you both today, and I hope you both really enjoy it too.
Inshallah.
Yeah. Inshallah.
Thank you.
All right, bismillah, I think let's just get down into it. All right, so the first question I would like to ask both of you is, tell us about the work that you do in the community and how long have you been in the public eye? Who would like to go first? She put you on the spot. All right, Sheikha. You go.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Jazakallah khair for inviting us along and giving us this chance to share, inshallah. So as for the public eye, that didn't happen until a few years ago now. But before that, you could say that I was already working. I already had some sort of public platform, but it was within the sisters' circles. Yes. So I used to give, like I've been giving, you know, lectures to sisters for almost 18 years and, you know, talks at sisters' events.
Yeah,
but it was around about 2016 when I kind of took the plunge and got into the social media sort of scene.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a big leap of faith for me.
Yeah. And what pushed you to get onto social media?
Well, I think what happened was I just, like, the world's moving on, and when you know, inshallah, as a person obviously in Dawah, you have to have a growth mindset. You have to realize that you have to go where the people are.
Correct.
And I just felt that there was a really big gap, you know, in the world scene. Like, and I knew the power of, I really knew the power of having, you know, positive female role models around you, you know. I mean, I'd always sought them out myself, being a revert and always wanting to sort of having high aims in the deen. I was always seeking out, you know, sisters to be my role models. So I felt like, you know, online, you look online, like males have a lot of role models, but there's not a real lot of female role models. And not to say that I'm the best role model or anything like that, but I just felt like there's a real absence there. And, you know, like I'd spent my years raising my kids, and I really felt like, you know, alhamdulillah, I've sort of established my home, and now it's time to sort of move more into my focus more into the ummah. You know, I want to kind of like feel like, you know, I've done what I could in raising my children and my home. So now it's kind of like I want to move into the wider community kind of scene, and inshallah ummah at large. Yeah. So it's basically like that.
Yeah, to have more impact.
Yeah, like I just felt like I feel like from the skills I had learned in raising my children, inshallah, you know, holding on to their faith, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I felt like inshallah, you know, I can use similar skills also. And, you know, obviously all those years of experience working with sisters, giving lessons and dawah and all that, I felt like if I can do this, you know, on the local scene, I can also do it on a larger scale as well. You know what I mean? So I think that's what kind of
Yeah, looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah, it made me realize that, you know, like, I feel like I need to step up and do something. And, you know, we've only got one life. Like, the way I look at it, I've got one life. So I felt like, you know, I want to do, you know, have maximum impact as much as I can, inshallah, in this short life that we have. May Allah give us barakah.
I mean, Allah pave that way forward for you and make it easy for you. Because that is a really, you know, we need that. Like you said, we need more representation. We need more people like you to reach out to the sisters in the community. And if you can do that at a larger scale, then, you know, of course, that's what we need. So Sister Kalisha, same thing with you. Please tell us about the work that you do in the community and how long have you been working in the public eye?
Yeah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I started getting involved in community work by necessity, really, back when I was quite young. I was maybe about 20 years old, so 16 or so years ago. And it was based on a need. I had very little knowledge, but whatever little I knew, I started to share it, particularly with new reverts to Islam and young people in the community. That grew to becoming different classes and programs, again, on the basics of Islam. As I learnt more things, I taught them to the community. I was from Perth City in Western Australia, and 15 years ago, there was very, very little available in terms of community programs and classes. So as I learnt things, I would curate and design programs and classes and then deliver it, and then started developing youth groups. Eventually, alhamdulillah, all the different things we started became part of an organization. And before moving here, alhamdulillah, we left behind that organization that's still running to today, alhamdulillah, in Perth and the different programs. So it was by necessity that I got involved in community work. But in terms of like online presence, I guess when we're talking about being a public figure, no one saw me or knew me. I never had any photos up, no videos up. I was very, very private.
Back when you were in Perth, you mean?
Yes. So when I launched my business, which was right before moving here, I wanted to take my skill set with me as I moved on out of the community and, you know, kind of share my expertise, what I was able to teach and mentor, in particular women and young people. And take it with me wherever I went. Allahu alam, I didn't know where I was going to end up living or moving. So coming to Sydney, set up my business in terms of coaching, workshops, courses, and different programs for Muslim sisters that I could take everywhere with me. And that's when I launched online. So that, I guess, pushed me into being a more public figure. And then I made that decision, like Sheikha, to have an online presence with video and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Probably one of the hardest decisions I've made in my life, to be honest.
Yeah, like, very, tell us about daunting. That. Why was it very hard for you?
I really value privacy, and the privacy of your life, your face, even who you are.
Okay.
The whole world shouldn't have the right to access that. So I had to weigh it up in terms of what I wanted to share and teach, and who I wanted it to reach. My area that I focus on is the Islamic identity of our Muslim women and our youth. And I heard, and you know, I had a teenage daughter at the time, 3 years ago, where we're just like, what is there in terms of positive influence for our young girls? We're going to complain that they're watching rubbish online, and the people that they're following and taking their Islamic examples from, we wouldn't like, sometimes we wouldn't like our girls to hang with such influence, but they are. So if we're going to sit there and complain about what they're watching online, there is an element for some of us to step up, and we have a responsibility to put positive content online. So even if I'm the only positive Islamic example that my daughter watches online, then, you know, ask Allah to accept her, you know. But it was a very difficult decision, because once you're out there, now you are accountable for what you say, what you do, and it's very easy to get torn down or critiqued by the public or by the community. So very, very daunting for someone who appreciates privacy and prefers like a more kind of introverted type of life.
Yeah, of course. And I know you're on a personal level, I know you like you prefer your privacy in that, and it's, yeah, I can understand it'd be hard to be out in the public eye all the time and being constantly watched, and just people knowing who you are, it does feel like it's, you know, you want the right to your own privacy. One of the key things that many prominent Muslim women note is the struggle they face as public figures, and they say that it's more intense and various, the struggles that they face, than what their male counterparts face. What are some of the struggles that you both have faced as a result of being prominent Muslim female figures?
Look, I do believe that there's a lot more judgment for women, okay? it's probably also because we're doing something a bit new as well.
Yeah.
And but the reality is social media didn't exist 100 years ago. You know what I mean? And the reality is if we're not there, who's going to be there? So we have to be there. We have to be an alternative voice, you know, for the next generation. That's the reality, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely there's a lot more scrutiny. I know definitely that's going on,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and for a female, you have to, there's a lot to consider. You know, you've got to always rethink about how you're going to dress, how you're going to speak. You know, I recently heard, for example, a male teacher saying that one of the best advices he ever got from one of his, you know, mashayikh was just be yourself. And I don't think a lot of brothers would understand how difficult that is for a female. Like, yeah. I would like to be myself. And I've actually taken quite a few years to try to work out a happy medium between trying to abide by Islamic guidelines and also not lose my humanness.
Yes.
Because when I first started out online, I was like talking almost monotone, trying to be really like, you know, like not having any expression.
No emotion.
And then thinking no one's going to relate to me like this.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So it's been it's been hard to navigate between getting it right, trying to get the right balance. But yeah, so there's that. There's the scrutiny that there is this constant scrutiny. And like you kind of can't help feeling that if you stuff up just once, you're gone. But I don't care because I really don't, like, we'll get into that a bit later on, but I really don't care, to be quite honest. But besides that, I believe that we are quite policed. Like, I know for myself, like, I've had, despite how much I'm covering myself, I will get people, you know, inboxing me, telling me that, you know, you need to cover your eyes, you know, what are you doing talking online? Like, you know, like they want you to be basically just not even existing.
If you covered your eyes with like sunglasses, maybe they might say something.
I don't know, but like even just my voice, they don't want it online, you know. So I just have learned there's the block button was invented for a reason. Just I can't be bothered anymore. Like, you know, in the beginning I used to think, oh, you know, I'll try to explain and give them proofs and everything like that. But after a while you just can't be bothered anymore. You just lose your you've got any energy left.
You know, going back to your first point where you said you want to act in a way that's a bit human, a bit more like you, so you can reach out to the sisters.
Yes.
At the same time, you have to juggle that with, you know, because, you know, there might be men watching you as well, so you have to also act almost a bit cold and, you know, just emotionless and, you know, stiff. But
there's so many different...
That is very hard because at the same time, you want to reach out to the young Muslim girls and do you think they will... you know, sit there and watch someone who's, you know, kind of like a computer to them, telling them this is right and this is wrong.
Like, I think there's three different things I'm always thinking about whenever I'm doing anything live. That's why I'm always a lot more nervous, like even tonight, like more nervous doing something live, right? Because you're out of control. You can't go back and edit it. But I mean, there's three things. There's, you might say something that, like, because of Islamophobia, you could get picked up, which has happened to me. I've ended up on newspapers, you know, because
from the non-Muslim community.
Yes.
Wow.
So you've got that, and because I'm under scrutiny, because I'm a, like, I wear niqab and I'm an Australian revert, so I'm already targeted, you know, because I'm putting myself as a public figure plus wearing a niqab and being a revert.
Yes.
That already makes them target me, right? And I've already had that happen to me before, right? Then within the Muslim community, you know, you've got that sort of like suspicion. What is she doing? You know what I mean? So I've got to think about everything I say. Maybe I'm going to say something wrong and someone's going to judge me for it. Like, I'm not too much. I don't go crazy with it, but I'm just explaining to you. You have to kind of really think about everything you're saying because you've got to consider each context that you're speaking to.
Yeah. You're being judged from so many different angles.
Yeah, but you also don't want to lose your audience.
Yeah.
Bring out the human side because that's what they relate to.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just all these different layers we've got to worry about. I think a lot more than say maybe males can get away with a lot more. They can muck around, they can just muck around if they want to online. We can't do that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like if a male sheikh speaks very sternly, it's okay. You know, people think, "Oh yeah, well he's trying to reach out to the, you know, to a certain group of people." But if a female sheikh speaks like that, then she's like, they might be like, oh, why is she getting so emotional? Or, and then same if you're speaking very softly, then they might use that against you as well. So you've really got to, you know, juggle a lot of different, like, the way that people might judge.
Well, see, I like to have a joke sometimes.
Yeah.
And then people aren't used to that. Like, that's okay if a male, for example, sheikh did that.
Yeah.
But for me, they might not. They might think, what is she doing? You know what I'm trying to say? So they're not used to that, but that's my personality. You know, and people might not understand that.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Yeah, that is definitely quite a few struggles you've mentioned there. Yeah. Kalisha, do you want to share some struggles that you think as a female you face as a prominent Muslim figure that maybe the males, you know, the brothers who are in the same position don't necessarily face?
I guess... I would probably want to share from my own like journey and perspective that as a female community, maybe mentor and teacher, I'm not obviously a sheikha or a scholar, but in terms of the programs and the things I'm able to offer to the women and young people, I found there to be quite a bit of welcoming in terms of you know, please sister, come and run something for the ladies or our young people, and there's been helpful facilities. Whereas if a brother was coming with a new program, he might be looked at with a bit more scrutiny because there is a lot of access to different mashaykh. Each mosque or center has already brothers and mashaykh that they kind of stick to. But if there was a brother who was doing what I was doing, I don't know if it would be as like, yeah, come, you know, come and run something. So I found in that way, because there is that freshness.
That was a positive side.
Yeah, this is a new thing of sisters. Yeah, there's a new thing now of sisters being able to teach the sisters and young people directly and the outsourcing of that. Mm-hmm. By organizations and community centers.
So the community is more open now.
To be honest, I felt supported in that way. Alhamdulillah, quite a few different centers and organizations. Can you please come and speak and run something? So that's the upside, definitely. Yeah. So I think, you know, to have that positive.
Because spoke about the
positive. Yeah, so I'm positive, that's to be honest. Yeah. But at the same time, there have been struggles. I spoke overseas 2 years ago in Hong Kong. And the organization at this conference, they invited Mufti Meng, Dr. Muhammad Salah, and a few other speakers. I was the first time they'd invited a female speaker, and it was me. And one of the organizations who normally sponsors and supports it decided to boycott because they had a female speaker. I felt like an omen arriving off the plane, you know. But alhamdulillah, like, I had to speak on the topic of domestic violence. Get ready and grow thick skin if you're involved in community work. So I'm officially a reptile now. So my skin has thickened in a way. But I guess some of the, you know, things we'll discuss a bit later on, we'll talk more about that.
Do you feel like as a Muslim female, it's a bit more challenging, maybe logistically or in other ways as well, to get work done in the community? It might not be as complicated for the brothers to do. For instance, like if you wanted to run a workshop in a masjid, do you have access to the board members, or do you have to like go through the female family members until it finally gets to the board? Mm-hmm. Like little things like that. Do you feel like it's just a bit more, you know, challenging and daunting and time consuming getting work done as a female, just because you're a female?
Not particularly. Like each organization is to its own. They all have their own system. Some are... Alhamdulillah, keeping up with the times, and they have systems in place, and they're very beautifully professional, mashallah, teams that work together, and they reach out to you and contact you and organize everything for you to come as a guest, you know, and give your time and give your services. Some are a little bit prehistoric. There are no systems in place, and you don't know who to ask or reach, and sometimes you have to jump hurdles and go through 3, 4, 5 people to get something planned out. I remember in the past, I was coming as a guest, but I had to design their flyer for them.
Oh my God.
I had to give my time and you know, alhamdulillah, you do what you can when you can, as much as you can. But sometimes you're just bewildered at how some organizations are servicing tens of thousands of Muslims, and they don't have forward thinking plans and structure in place to serve that community. That scares me. Because each mosque and each committee, if they're watching out there now, we all have a huge responsibility to the ummah and community that we serve. And if you need to upgrade or change or develop systems, I would encourage them to get cracking fast. Because the community need that masajid or need that organization to be on its A game.
I agree. Yeah, good on you.
And I think having sisters on board as well to help, it really makes things organized. You know, Michelle, one of the you know, great talents of the female sisters is their attention to detail and the organization skills. And I've noticed in a lot of the Islamic centers that I'm involved in through my business Dream Fitness, the ones where they've got female members working in the center, they're so professional and so organized. Mashallah. Work gets done, mashallah, really, really quickly as well. So, okay, the next question. Take a deep breath for this one, ladies. Have you ever faced backlash for the work that you do or criticism for being a vocal Muslim female? And if so, give us some examples when that has happened and how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go. All right,
you can go first for that one.
All right, well, look, no doubt a lot of this stuff goes on behind your back, right? And every now and again, little bits will leak back to you. Yeah. But besides that, like I said, look, I think that it is very difficult. Like, look, women are under a lot of pressure. I do feel, like I said before, that they are a lot more scrutinized. And I think the problem is, too, that it used to be only that you were scrutinized as far as how much are you practicing Islam, right? But now it's not just that anymore. It's like I've actually had said to my face that we're actually put on a spectrum of how feminist are we. Okay? So, like, some people are more on the higher feminist scale and some are lower. So, like, it's, you know what I mean? So it's not just anymore about how practicing you are, but, like, oh, how much of a feminist is this person? Do you understand? So there's so many, you know what I mean? And that, yeah, that's something we're dealing with now.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I've had it said to my face. Like, I've actually had it said to my face that because I like certain people's posts online, that's why people have judged me to be a feminist. Just because I like certain sisters' pages online.
So that's the level.
That's the level I'm being scrutinized.
So people are watching who you like.
To that level. Wow. And I was like, it didn't surprise me, but you know what I mean? It just goes to show you.
How do you feel about that F word label, feminist? I feel like
that's the new F word, is it?
So it is. For in the Muslim community, that's just.
Well, I'll be honest with you. For me, I actually get very offended from it up until now, but I'm trying to work with myself to get over that now. But yeah. Like, it's because I've always sort of really been a strong, you know, how can I say, a person who's really, you know, sort of, you know, I see myself as being as orthodox as I can, you know, calling to the most orthodox teachings, and yet you're still calling me a feminist.
If I can't even
get rid of that label, how's anybody else going to get rid of that label? Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
They do say in a very, like, demeaning or insulting way as well. And then you just think, what more do I have to, you know, give up or do in order to not have that label, you know, put on?
Exactly. And so it's like, and the thing is, you're trying to do dawah, and by them saying something like that, you're actually putting sisters off listening to you. Like, you know what I mean? They're actually purposely sort of really putting people off you and making them think there's something wrong with you. Do you understand? Wow. And it's really unfair. Like, it's actually really unfair.
Especially when if you're giving a talk about women's issues in Islam and women's issues that, you know, where you might discuss the rights that women have, whether it's, you know, marital rights or divorce rights or, you know, any other rights that Muslim women have. And these are like fiqh-related issues that we do need to educate the community on. You know, so Muslim women know how to stand up for themselves and they don't go through domestic violence. But then if you do that, you get labeled a feminist. Do you feel like that every time you talk about women's issues, that's when they bring out that F-word more?
See, the funny thing is what people don't understand, and I did try to explain this not long ago on my online, right?
Yeah.
I worked with women only for the last like 16 years. I've just been talking to women only audiences and only recently got into speaking to like a mixed audience, right?
Yeah.
So people are wondering why I'm always just talking to sisters, because that's how I've been for the last, you know, how many years. Yeah. And I'm just used to, like, I'm trying to appeal to their mindset. I know their mindset, you know, and I know I'm trying to appeal to that, and I know the topics they want to speak about. So that's what I'm geared towards. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And then people misunderstand that and, you know, and take it to mean something else, unfortunately. Yeah. But they don't realize, you know.
Yeah.
We've always been, you know, this gender segregation and, you know, and all that. And then, so, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, real issue in the community. Kleisha, is there anything you want to say about that? Have you ever been labeled a feminist through your line of work?
No, alhamdulillah, nothing's come to my ears about me being labelled a feminist yet. So if anyone want to come through, we'll put my email on the screen shortly. So
how would you feel with that label? Like, do you feel that it would be, you know, is it insulting? Or, I mean, it could just mean that you're standing up for female rights in Islam, which the rights...
I would ask the person, where are you getting that idea from? Clearly they haven't spent enough time looking into the work that I do and what I'm saying and teaching to our community members, in reality, you know. I tend to try to not let things like labels, I don't like falling under a label, you know, let alone that word specifically. I think there's a lot of talk around it that is really non-beneficial, and it's we've got more important things to talk about as a Muslim community. You know, I'm doing work with trying to help Muslim women and young people with their identity and their confidence in how they feel about their deen and boosting that up. I'm not interested in any feminist narratives and things like that. Like, let's just talk about what our deen is, and our deen honors and nurtures and respects both genders and upholds them in their own light, in according to their own fitrah and nature within that gender. So that's what, as far as it's, I know, myself and Shekha, that's what we're calling to, you know. So but yeah, in general, in terms of backlash for the work that I do some work in public schools and private schools in New South Wales, where it's involved, where I present as an educator representing the Muslim faith, and you know, it's technically dawah work. And you know, sometimes I have to speak alongside people of other faiths, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, whatever their faiths are, and I stand as a Muslim representative sharing with the audience what our deen is, clearing up misconceptions, sharing what we stand for. I have had people get wind of that in the community and decide to label me as some flimsy calling to the uniting of religions, interfaith type person, like,
for giving dawah work to non-Muslims.
For basically giving dawah, talking about what Islam is, debunking misconceptions to children at schools. So I was labeled that. I was people decided to say things in certain chat groups, online forums. People went to other community organizations and warned against me. Don't have her speaking to your audience. Alhamdulillah, Allah knows. Allah is just, you know.
How do they expect dawah to be given to non-Muslims then?
I don't know. Maybe they have another way. So, you know, may Allah
Well, they should step up and teach the other way.
It's easy to be a keyboard warrior and type things from behind the screen, hiding in homes, than to be out there dealing with people, giving your time and energy to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You mentioned something earlier that it kind of stood out to me, and you were saying that you don't have time for that. You just want to, like, you don't have time to listen to all the criticism, the backlash. You just want to get on with the work.
Yeah.
And I just think, imagine the amount of time the community wastes just giving our, you know, leaders a hard time when they're just trying to do their work. You know, they're just trying to teach the women. They're trying to get the message out there. They're trying to do the work for Allah. And people should just let them do it, you know, like instead of wasting so much time with constant criticism and judgment.
The narration, you know, like, it's better to be silent about a bad thing than to speak about it, and it's better to speak about a good thing than to be silent about it. And again, speak good or keep silent, both verbally and online. If you don't have anything good to say or contribute, it's better not to comment on things that don't involve us, or that we can't help or support with, or that we even, you can't correct it yourself directly, or you're not interested to actually make an effort to correct something if you see that it's wrong. Better to not talk about it, share it, go look at this, watch that, look at what, you know, look at what so-and-so said and what so-and-so did.
Some people are always just watching what everyone's saying and doing.
Sending screenshots of things you've commented on or posted. They send screenshots to each other and have a big comment about that, and talk about you behind your back, and all this sort of stuff goes on.
If me and Shekha, I talk and I criticize one person to her, that's a sin that I'm sharing with one person. If I write something online or in a WhatsApp chat group about someone and it's slanderous or it's not accurate or it's just gossip, and I've shared that with 200-300 people, let alone 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, imagine the weight of that sin on the day of judgment's point. We're not even counting our sins moment to moment, let alone broadcasting our perspectives or our, you know, nasty words and thoughts.
I also think it's really sad, because there's a dire need for a middle path for sisters. Okay, so, like, you know, like, Sister Kalisha and myself are from those sisters who have, alhamdulillah, may Allah support us, stepped up to try to fill in a gap that's existing, right? And women need that. And what you're doing is actually, like, you know, you're, everyone's crying out about, oh, feminism, everyone's turning to that, everyone's going astray, and our atheism. Sisters are losing their deen and, you know, going to atheism. But, you know, they're not supporting, people aren't actively enough supporting those people who have tried to, you know, step up, inshallah, and try to fill that gap to kind of, as like, inshallah, we ask Allah, will be like that, like an antidote to what you're worried about. You understand? So even when we try to do that, we're still being shot down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, they should be getting behind us. Like, if you know what happens is, unfortunately, is that instead of, like, you know, giving you, and I mean sincere nasiha, like, unfortunately, most people give you nasiha, it's with judgment.
A lot of people give nasiha.
It's with judgment. Yeah. It's not really nasiha. It's not like,
it's not loving.
It's not a loving way. It's not a caring way. It's like, you better fear Allah, right, or, you know, you know, so they say it in a real condescending way, like in a judgmental way, right? But if you had, so they talk about you behind your back, they don't come to you and sort of, you know, share their concerns.
You don't get a loving phone call or someone say, can I just have a chat with you about something I'm worried about?
It they just gets
they should talk about straight you to the source. If there's something they really, you know, don't feel is right that you're doing, contact you.
Yeah, to understand, to get context of why you're doing that particular thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of assuming that you did it like that or, you know.
In a sinister way.
So that's the problem.
No clarification.
That's the big problem. And it's sad because there's not enough. And then when, you know, when other sisters see that happening to the very few sisters we have, like
undermining.
It also fuels, if you ask me, it fuels feminism more because they sort of, you kind of, you're feeding into the narrative of the feminists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because everything they say is exactly what you're now doing.
So,
you know?
You had mentioned how you need to fill in the gap for, you know, the middle path.
Mm.
And I think that's so important because, you know, the reality is some young Muslim girls might look at you and think, oh, I can never be like that. She knows too much. She does too much. And I'm never going to be like that. And therefore, you need to soften yourself in front of them and be open to them and, you know, welcome them in that this is okay. You know, it's okay if you're not there yet. It's okay if you've seen a little bit. It's okay. You know, you're opening up the doors to knowledge and opening up the doors to guidance. And we're going to talk about this on the social media platform as well, because something that I see a lot on social media, there's no shortage of, you know, Muslim female prominent figures. Outside of the Islamic realm, there's actually, you know, if you just search the hashtag, you know, hijabi inspiration or Muslim female, you're going to see posts and posts of, you know, wear your makeup like this, put your hijab on like this, do your eyebrows like this. And there's no shortage of that. But if you see the handful of ladies that we have who are actually, you know, calling towards Allah, and then these ladies are the ones, these sisters are the most criticized and the most judgmental. So my question to you is, you know, some people might make a real issue of Muslim women who are, you know, who appear to be very vocal and strong and confident on social media. What are your thoughts to this? And what would you like to say in response to them that say, you know, modest Muslim women shouldn't put themselves in the public eye and they shouldn't put themselves on social media? Especially knowing that men are also watching as well. Like, it's a public platform.
Yeah. Look, I don't think everybody should be on social media. You know, they don't have to all put themselves out there. I think that, but there needs to be some, you know, and hopefully the people who do that, inshallah, they've worked on themselves first, okay, because we know that there's a system. Islam teaches us a system, right? So it's al-in. Al-amalu bihi. So start off with al-in, you know, you gain your knowledge, you establish yourself, then you try to act upon that knowledge, right? So when you've got yourself, you know, together, then it's a da'wah to ilay, the then calling to that, right? And then it's as-sabr ala ma adafi, you know, being patient upon whatever you have to bear in
the
struggles
that we discussed.
Okay, so there is a system to it in Islam. So hopefully, you know, your intention needs to come from the right place, okay? Otherwise, you are going to get lost. But in saying that, so what I'm saying to you is that if we can have those sisters there, inshallah, it's very important, like I said, we need to have that. We need to create a whole new narrative, like as a middle path for sisters to see that, you know, we can be, you know, sisters that hold on to our Islamic identity and values and principles without compromising in the year 2021.
Yes.
Right? The sisters need to see that. And like, that's why, like, for example, on my Instagram, for example, like Facebook, I'm telling you, I'm almost like, you might find, you might have noticed that I have really just, I've backed away a lot from Facebook now. I'm just sick of it. It's so energy sapping. Too much energy sapping. I don't have time for it. Like, if I want to do a post, I actually have to think, do I even have time for this post? Because when I put the post, I'm going to have 20 arguments underneath.
Within 10 minutes.
So I can't be bothered, you know? So that's why I've kind of moved more into Instagram. It's a much more friendly environment.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, what I try to do on Instagram is just show a little bit more of my life. You know, I just feel it's a place where you feel a bit more free to share your life. Like, I don't feel Facebook is that kind of place. I don't like sharing my life on Facebook too much, right? But Instagram, you know, everyone's showing their life, so it's okay. And so I show some other, you know, things that I do, and people get surprised. I go, wow, you know, you're a person, you know, you're into knowledge, but yet, you know, you go quad bike riding with your family, you know, you go swimming, you know, actually, you know, I have fun as in a hobby, you know, my life's not boring.
Yeah, mashallah.
So, you know,
I see all the amazing photos of you in your niqab and everything, hiking on the mountains. And I just think, mashallah, this is what women,
and I think they need
the younger
that.
Group needs to see.
Yeah. They need to see that other dimension to, you know, being a Muslima in the year 2021. That's what it comes down to.
I think that's the whole thing, being a Muslima in 2021.
No, and the thing is, okay, this is very important. I just want to mention this. Sorry, Khalisha, I've taken up as much time.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
But, like, look, if you go to the research, look, they have proven, and this is not from Islamic research, this is just research in general about women, that visual representation is so powerful for women. They really need it. And, like, because a lot of people say, you know, you've got your role model, your mother, right? Or you've got your role models, Aisha and Khadija, radiallahu anhu, you know?
Yeah.
All right, we know we have them as our role models, but visual representation is, there's nothing more, it's so powerful. And we're living in an age of social media, influencers, you know, bloggers.
Yeah.
And the sisters are finding themselves in like an ocean surrounded with all this.
Mm.
Where's the alternative voice? You understand? So they need to see, wait a minute, there are some sisters out there, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, may Allah keep us steadfast, who are, you know, standing upon, ya Rabbil Alameen, you know, as I said, you know, do you understand? Without, you know, trying to practice their deen without compromise, you know what I mean? But, and then they can feel like, yes, I can do that too.
I think you just hit the nail on the head right there, that where is the alternative voice?
Nah.
So that these young Muslim girls who finally get access to Instagram and social media, which they will, because that's just the reality, unfortunately, of the times we're living in, they're all going to have Instagram. And they might think, okay, I'm going to do something good. I'm going to, you know, hashtag hijabi Muslims, and that's the people I'm going to follow instead of following, you know, the kuffar. But you need the right representation for Muslim women. Yeah, that just...
Look, there's a saying, I just want to say that I'm looking to the camera. You said to me I can look into the camera.
There you go, that's
so fun. Okay, there's a saying, it says, it's hard to be what you cannot see. All right? Mm. It's hard to be what you cannot see, especially for women. They need to be able to see that, and then they can believe that they can do that too.
Yes.
Wow. So, yeah.
Khalisha, same question to you. Do you remember the question?
Yes.
Okay. Go. Let's
social
go.
Social media question.
Social media. Yeah.
Well, it's a big topic, really.
We should have another panel just on that.
And it's a very important topic, actually, that needs to be discussed more for all of us, and it applies to all of us. And, you know, thinking about this question, I've had to do a lot of like deep dives into the topic of social media over the last, you know, few years. And I'm off at the moment off my personal accounts, you know, having a bit of like a, you know, a refreshing time. And
was that for Ramadan?
Like, yeah, Ramadan, reassessing myself and how I use it, realigning just a whole, you know, I've been on it, you know, Instagram in particular, maybe 3 years now, Facebook.
Did you find it time consuming?
13 years. I've got a lot of time back, alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
But in general, we jump on it, we get on it. No one gives us lessons. No one tells us how to use it, how not to use it. So I'm going to do a shameless plug, which I'm not like, it's not a sponsored plug or anything.
Look in the camera.
We don't learn how to use it, but we should have, this book is really good, The Fiqh of Social Media.
Mashallah.
And it's not too thick, but it gives points and it's based on, you know, Quran and Hadith points for us to draw from,
mashallah,
and then action points to really filter the way we're using our social media.
Wow.
And we know that now, if anyone's got a social media account, you're thinking, how should I curate my account or my online persona?
Yes.
What should my photos look like? What about my feed, my profile? But we're forgetting about how we need to curate our use of social media. What are we seeing? Who is watching us? Who are we allowing to see us? Who are we connecting with? How are we connecting with? What kind of content are we putting out, and the reasoning behind it, a very, very good book that I encourage everyone to get by Omar Usman. If you can find him on social media platforms and get the book. Yeah. I really encourage that for everyone to learn how to use your social media Islamically. But yeah, I would agree with your question where you're talking about, you know, there is concern about the impact of social media on women's modesty. Definitely. Mm-hmm. We need to acknowledge and recognize social media is a beast.
Yeah.
And it's a machine. It's a machine designed to suck us in, churn us up, and turn us into consumers, and spit us out.
Yeah.
And you're left, research is showing now, by the end of social media use, within 20 minutes, you already feel bad about the time you wasted on social media.
Yeah.
The links to poor mental health and all sorts of things. Oh, very little khair comes from it in terms of your well-being, let alone your spiritual, mental and emotional and physical health. So we have to recognize that you're dealing, when we go on it, you're dealing with a monster that has been designed and curated for you to swallow you.
Yeah.
You're losing yourself every minute you are on social media without any clear benefit and without any clear objective. We go on to simply scroll. We're not going on with an objective to learn something solid. It's always snippets and pieces of usually irrelevant, long-term irrelevant information. So we have to be very, very cautious about how we use it. The majority of users of social media are females. So us women and whoever's watching
Instagram,
at home, we have to realize that the impacts of it and the negative impacts on it are going to affect the females globally, not just, you know, Muslim, non-Muslim, whatever community. We have to be aware of it. And you ask, you know, like, you know, the scrutiny about confident, vocal, strong Muslimas. We have a lot of claimed confident, vocal, strong Muslimas who have huge followings. My question is, are they truly confident? Are they vocal or are they just loud with what they're calling to? Are they just powerful influencers because they have huge followings because their feed is curated to draw in the masses, or are they holding fast to certain values and principles? We have to ask ourselves that. I have to question myself. I have to look back at my old post photos. Why did I post that? What was I trying to say? What was I doing? Was it sincere? We have to revisit, you know, ourselves. Why am I putting this up and what am I getting out of it? You know, it's a big thing now, like the currency on social media is attention currency. How much attention can you get? How many people are watching
and
you,
the
following
dopamine
you?
Hit
this number game.
From,
number game, the dopamine hit, all of that. It's a
and
drug.
And then that constant, the goal is to grow the account. And it's all about grow the followers, post this, and you know, keep up with all the new. One day it's a post, the next day it's a reel or something. Like, there's always just so much you
doesn't
have to
end.
Keep doing.
That's why it's a beast.
To grow the
account,
just to make it feel like, you know, you're having, you're
and
influencing.
And what's the price? The price is you are constantly distracted and it will take your time. And time is life. And we will be accountable for every second, every minute we spend, you know.
So to just basically summarize the advice that you both have given, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that if you are going to go on social media, number one, be very mindful of who it is that you are following and be very cautious of what you are posting. And not everybody needs to have a platform on social media. Not everyone needs to be there and be seen. And if you are going to be, you know, an influencer, be very mindful of what it is that you are trying to influence others
like
with.
You have to be careful. It's a really big responsibility. And
like
the thing is with social media, it's a big burden on your shoulders, because if you misguide, every person you misguide, like there's a hadith that says, you know, man da'a ila dalala, whoever calls to dalala, like misguidance, they'll have the sin of everybody who followed them without taking away from their sin. So that they will get their sin, but you will take a share of their sin. That's a huge responsibility.
So they're like these public unveilings. I'm just going to let you all know my 1.2 million followers. Why? I've taken hijab off. What
a
responsibility.
It's such a common thing now, unfortunately. It's such a common thing now.
So that's the thing. Like, it might look glamorous to a lot of people. Like, having a social media presence, I'm sure when people look at, like, Kalisha's page, my page, they think, oh, wow, what a glamorous. And they probably feel jealous of you or something. But let me tell you right now, there's so many negative things and struggles we actually go through. It's not like you think at
it's
all.
It's not a pretty,
it's not.
Always,
it's scary. You're actually putting yourself on the line. You know, you're actually putting yourself in a more accountable position before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not, you know.
May Allah protect us all.
Allahumma amin ya Rab.
Okay, we spoke about the struggles that you both have faced as prominent Muslim females. So let's kind of go back and recap those struggles. Has any of those struggles gotten to a point where you feel like it might have affected your mental health? Has anyone ever said anything to you, or have you gone, you know, faced some kind of criticism where it's really, you know, put you down and you think it may have affected your mental health?
Yeah, well, so like for myself, like over the years, I have, alhamdulillah, had anxiety problems over the years, right? But alhamdulillah, I've done a lot of work with that to try to overcome it. But because I do have that, if it gets too intense online, I will get very stressed from it. You know, I'm a very sensitive person, so I do find it hard when people start becoming very hateful and judgmental.
Yeah.
So it does affect me, and that's when I need to, you know, basically just step away. And that, like I said, part of the reason I can't be bothered really half the time posting on Facebook anymore is because it just doesn't get me in a good place. And, you know, and I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
You know, I really can't be bothered. You know, I'd rather just do something.
Yeah.
So your way of dealing with it is really just ignore it. Don't look at it.
You know, what I'm trying to say is if I know I'm going to be, you know, if I'm going to be exposed to that,
I would rather,
I'll find another platform where I feel happier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. Unless I really feel like, okay, no, we need to post this, or if I'm in the right state of mind, or, you know, I'm not too busy with the rest of my life, then I might think, okay, I'm in at the right, I've got time, I've got 3 days spare to post this one post to deal with anything that's going to come after it. You know what I mean?
You've got to mentally prepare yourself.
You do, because, you know, if I've got exams going on, if I've got, you know, things to prepare, and I've got, you know, if I'm going to post something right now and I've got to, like, people are going to be all commenting and I've got to reply back.
So and for the sake of your mental health, just avoid posting.
Yeah, and it's not always controversial things. Sometimes it could be people seeking knowledge, but they're going to ask me a lot of questions on this post, and I need to have enough time to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. So,
Kalisha, have you ever felt like you've been criticized or judged to the point where it's affected your mental health?
I wouldn't say mental health, maybe like emotions.
Yeah, everyone or emotions. Gets sad. Put you down.
Yeah, everyone can get sad or affected, but then, again, I have to go into my intentions and, you know, the intentions behind why, you know, I've chosen to do something or step into something or say something.
Yeah.
In general, I try to avoid online debate and argumentation. I'm not interested in that.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. Yeah. If someone wants to talk, come to me and talk to me about this whole let's publicly fight or debate or try to tear someone down, I'm not interested in that. I wouldn't do it to someone else. So if someone tries to do it to me, generally I will ignore that type of behavior. You know, come and talk to me to my face and be a human being, you know. And I think this is a big point too. There's too much online junk, online interactions. I think we need to come back to being human beings and actually talking and discussing things in person. It's very different. How someone would argue online, it's very different. Sister, like, yeah, you know, when you wrote that post, what did you mean by that, sis? And then you explain to me and I'm like, I never saw it that way. Rather than me typing something to you, which is cold and blunt, and you might take it the wrong way, you might have had a bad day, and then you kind of might answer back that to me then sounds blunt, and then it turns into this nasty interaction while everyone's watching as well. It's like, let's just be human and talk about different things, whether you agree or disagree on whatever point it is. I think that's important. But also there's that element where yes, I am, you know, community figure, I have to teach, I have to speak, but people also need to realize that, like, there are human beings behind it. We have families, we have tests, we have imperfect lives beyond what we're teaching and preaching. And, like, for me personally, anything I teach or preach, it applies to me before anyone else. I'm trying to correct myself before anyone else. So when I'm teaching something, I'm not coming from the perspective of, oh, I'm high and mighty, I'm perfect, I've got this down pat. It's like, I'm reminding you to remind me, because it helps me first and foremost. And I want us all to journey together towards bettering ourselves and our families and our homes and our, you know, sense of Islamic faith and identity. So people need to realize not to judge someone's intention behind why they're doing something. It's so easy to call someone, oh, you're fake or this or that, have these types of narratives. It's like, no, there's a human being, there's a soul, there's a heart behind there. Don't forget what that person is. Like Sheikh said, like, you sacrifice a lot in stepping into this role to be a public figure. Like, I say it, Sheikha, like I say, you are preparing for martyrdom. The community can martyr you, destroy you with their tongues when you're choosing to come out and say and call and teach as an imperfect human being. So it's being prepared for that. Your head is on the chopping block with people's tongues. all the time.
May Allah, may Allah protect us.
Allah, may Allah.
To our viewers, if you have any questions you would like to be part of the discussion, please add them to the comment section of this post, and inshallah, we can address some of those questions as well. We've only got about 5 minutes left, so if you do have questions, please pop them in quickly. I want to, you know, with all the struggles that we've spoken about and the challenges, and you know, you guys have gone quite deep into it, and it looks like there is quite a few struggles. Have you ever felt like it's just too much and you want to take a step back? Have you ever gone to a point where you just think, you know, living a private life and being in the quiet is so much more easier than having to constantly face like this battle of being in the public eye?
I know for me, because I started traveling around for Dawah, you know. And as much as I love that, I love giving talks and traveling around and, you know, going interstate, international, giving talks. I love it, right? Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, I realized that ultimately what's more important for me is actually my family. Yeah. And so I realized that, you know, so actually I'm not trying very hard online. I know sometimes people might be like looking at what I've been posting lately, it might look like I've been doing a lot, but that's all been spread out over a lot of time. I didn't do all that in Ramadan, everybody, just so you know. it just looks like I've been doing a lot, but I actually haven't. And to be honest, I actually don't go out of my way to do anything. People just ask me.
Yeah.
So I go with the flow. Yeah. I'm actually not trying very hard. Trust me. If I wanted to try hard, I'd be putting putting lessons up. I'd be doing heaps of stuff. But right now, I don't have the time to kind of really focus on social media. Like I'm more interested in my teaching, my family, my students. You know, my offline work is very important to me. So my online presence is really just, I would say, maybe 5% of my time. Like it's, I'm not putting my focus on it that much. And I don't know how much I really want to go more than that, because the more you go, there's a greater price. Like, for example, I know myself, if I was to become more prominent, I'll become maybe more targeted by Australian media, for example. And I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of like
so you're
just
intentionally keeping a step back.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I like just being the way I am, just within the Muslim community, not sticking out too much.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So
understandable. And what about you, Kleisha? Have you ever just thought, you know, this is just too much to handle, and I want to take a step back? Has anyone ever said something that's just kind of put you off doing the amazing work that you do?
I technically just question myself a lot. And I try to make sure that it's always an option, that if I want to go back to how it was and just disappear, it's always an option.
It's there,
So to remember that door is always open for me, rather than holding myself hostage to the roles that I've chosen and the work that I've chosen.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you're not very indebted to your work.
This is because this is the hard bit when you're in service of the community. And I struggled with this in my early years when I used to do mainly volunteer work and give a lot of time before stepping into actually having it as a business and being treated a little bit more professionally by the community. You can sometimes fall into feeling like the community owns you almost. Alhamdulillah, I've grown out of that largely.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to feel like, oh no, I have to fulfill this role.
Yeah.
If it doesn't make me happy and it costs too much in terms of my personal life or, community backlash or commentary, and I don't want it anymore.
Thoughts on another issue, and I think this is really important, especially it's really important, especially for those, you know, being in the public eye and having a prominent influence in the public eye as well. How do you protect your nafs from getting affected by the limelight? Have you ever felt like it's starting to get too much where you're kind of enjoying the limelight, or how do you make sure that your intentions are pure and you're not doing anything for the sake of attention?
I keep reminding myself of how scary it is. Like, if you look at, like, for example, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah Ta'ala says, "Tu'izzu man tasha wa tudhillu man tasha." At any moment, Allah Ta'ala can debase you. You know, and it's really scary. At any moment, like, we are under the protection of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So at any moment, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can change your situation. You understand? So that's why, actually, what's mentioned by the ulama is the more you grow in public presence, the more you have to have a lot of private deeds behind the scenes. Otherwise, if you go higher than what you're trying to build up in the secret deeds, you can just end up collapsing. So to me, the more I sort of get out there, it makes me realize I have to even try harder privately. It makes me more scared, because now as well, you know, you've created this platform and now it's kind of like, now you've got to try and live up to that. Because, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
So if anything, it's a greater reminder. It actually puts more pressure on me.
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Klisha.
Yes, I guess it's super important. Like, I think we need to keep ourselves in check largely, you know, our nafs and our ego. We have to remember that it's one of the most horrible things to desire fame. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith by recorded in Tirmidhi, two wolves roaming freely among a flock of sheep are less destructive to them than the passion of a man for wealth and fame is to his religion.
Wow.
So wealth and fame are as destructive to our deen as a wolf, two wolves running freely amongst a flock of sheep. We have to realize that they are super dangerous. So to want to become famous online or to be some kind of influencer, for me, I always remind myself, don't let me influence you. Look at what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Look at what I'm calling you to.
It's the message. Not,
and if it's not me, Allah will replace me. We are all replaceable. And I'm just trying to give, I only have a very little amount of knowledge. And I'm just trying to give whatever little I know and translate it in the way that I know best according to my own life journey and experiences and to meet not the entire community. I'm not here. I'm not able to help and teach everyone. Definitely. I'm here to, you know, help a select part of the community that resonate with me in whatever way, you know, that they resonate with me and in terms of the message and the benefits that I'm able to share. But to remember, like, we're all replaceable, subhanAllah. So for me, it's really important to, like, if anyone ever praises, I always feel like a stab in my stomach. It's like, don't praise me. We're not praiseworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the praiseworthy one. You know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the praiseworthy one. So for me, it's important that I stay connected to the grassroots because I consider myself, I'm a grassroots person. Like,
yes, you are.
My background, my journey, you know, my origins, my heritage, very simple grassroots people culturally. I'm here to teach the basics of this deen, to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you're Muslim, non-Muslim, young, old. I'm going to say whatever I can say. And it's not about me, it's about what I'm trying to call to. And for me, just constantly questioning the intentions behind every action, in person or online. Just we have to smash our own hearts. We have to smash our own intentions. Steer away from this focus on the people, what they're saying and what they're thinking about me. I don't care if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't pleased with me and He's going to... This deed I think is good, but my intention's wrong and I'm going to be dragged on my face into the hellfire. What's it all for then?
Yeah.
What is going through all of this, being the community's martyr, facing scrutiny, giving your time, your energy, sacrificing your families, you know, everything. You sacrifice so much for what? To have a wrong intention and then be punished in the hellfire because of it. So the weight of it, it's heavy, it's enormous, and it should feel like that for anyone who is saying anything publicly to the community. For all of us, whether we are simply selling a product online, or you are some other type of businesswoman, or you are selling hijabs and doing hijab tutorials, weigh it heavily what you're putting out there into the world. We'll be held accountable for all of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's writing, all of it. You know,
very sound advice. I was gonna say, let's end it off with some advice that you would give to the younger Muslim women. You know, the young Muslim girls who are thinking of taking a similar path that you both have, you know, coming out to be vocal Muslim women, giving dawah. What advice would you give? And then we'll wrap up our session.
So I'll give you three advices that are taken from Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, right? Whoever rectifies what is between them and Allah, Allah will rectify what is between that person and the people, right? And whoever rectifies their private life, Allah will rectify their public life. And lastly, whoever's greatest concern is the akhirah. Like, if your main concern is akhirah, Allah will suffice you from your affairs of the dunya. So keep that in mind, and then
that
you'll fix everything, inshallah.
Even though I've heard it so many times before, just hearing it in today's context and seeing how much it applies to us now, today, yeah, subhanAllah, didn't I just...
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, jazakallah khairan for sharing that.
Jazakallah khairan,
Shaykha. And Kalisha.
Yeah, I guess
advice and tips for women who see you as a role model might want to take a similar path?
Yeah, I think a big point that I would want to advise sisters is, yeah, we have to guard ourselves. A hijab is there to protect us and to keep us modest.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that we have to protect ourselves and keep ourselves modest. We have to be diligent in that guarding of ourselves,
yeah.
In our presentation, in our conduct, in our speech, and in our interactions. We have to be very, very cautious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed us with certain traits and qualities that can easily be, you know, we can easily fall into using them, you know, in the wrong way, or presenting ourselves in the wrong way, you know, being, you know, too ostentatious or too, too open in ways, you know, especially online. We have to be very, very careful how we present ourselves. The second point I would say is leave what does not concern you. You know, we know the hadith, part of someone's being a good Muslim is leaving alone what doesn't concern them. If it doesn't concern you to watch it, to follow that person, to engage in that debate or conversations, stay out of it. You have better things to do. We all have better things to do with our time. We have to be so selfish and greedy with our time and just think, is this worth me watching or browsing? I know we all need downtime just to relax a little bit and stuff, but we have to be careful because these are all feeding messages into our psyche, which are forming our identities. It's forming our identities. Everything we feed our eyes and our ears and our senses, it's forming our identities and ultimately affecting our spirituality and our souls. And the final point is choose quality over quantity in both information, quality information versus quantity of small scattered parts of information, and you know, this fleeting news feed that we have going
constant
on.
Scrolling down, scrolling.
Read a book. Yeah. Just read a book for 15 minutes rather than scroll for 15 minutes, which becomes 50 minutes. And company as well. Quality people, human beings to interact with and engage with and have bonds with, not quantity.
Yeah.
In terms of even online, how many you follow and who follows you and who you spend time talking to, small fleeting conversations, or quality sitting with your sheikh or your sheikha for quality, an hour going to a lesson or watching an hour-long lecture with a pen and paper taking notes, as opposed to this fleeting type of you know, interaction that we're having. We're really destroying ourselves, our attention spans, our intellect and our souls in the big picture.
Very heavy discussion tonight. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up there. I want to say a big jazakallah khairan to both of you. I really enjoyed, like thoroughly enjoyed tonight's panel, and I feel like you've just given us such a deep insight into what your lives are like as prominent Muslim women, and it's not all butterflies and rainbows. There is a lot of struggle that goes behind the scenes. There's a lot you need to keep an eye out and be careful about, and you enjoy your family time, and just because you're out there, it doesn't mean that you're open to everyone. Like everyone has access to you, you're still Muslim women that want to have your privacy as well. Mm-hmm. I just want to make a quick point to our dear viewers that this was all unscripted and raw and real time. As the name of the show suggests, it is a Ramadan real talk. So please keep that in mind, that, you know, I just put them on the spot and they had to answer the question on the spot, and you both did amazing, inshallah, alhamdulillah, at that. So jazakallah khairan for coming today. We really, really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much for having us.